Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we bring you an in-depth look at Silent Hill 2, a survival horror game about madness, punishment, and our inner demons and monsters. It was developed by Konami, directed by Tsuboyama Masashi, written by Owaku Hiroyuki, with a crazy, amazing score composed by Yamaoka Akira. And our guest today is Stevie Ray Tron, freelance illustrator and also the creator of Weatherwax Coven. And of course, she is a huge fan of Silent Hill 2. I'd just like to note that Silent Hill 2 is rated R, and while we have talked about some heavier subjects in past episodes, this one's going to be pretty intense just because it's a horror game and there were a lot of really graphic and heavy scenes, and it is one of my favorites of all time and totally worth a playthrough, but diver's discretion is advised. As always, we recommend you play the game before listening because we're going to dive deep, and in the abyss, there be spoilers. And now, without further ado, let's descend.
Do you want to talk about Pyramid Head?
Yeah, let's talk about Pyramid Head. Ugh. The first thing that I want to say is Pyramid Head was probably one of my favorite villains, if you can call him that, of all time. Mm-hmm. And they did such a good job of kind of preparing you, or not preparing you, rather, for the terror that is Pyramid Head. And I don't think Pyramid Head ever... Well, he does eventually, like, come after you, but in the first little while, he's just looming. Mm-hmm. He's just like this looming, oppressive... They do such a good job of making him this scary, oppressive presence without ever attacking you. He's just standing there in the bars at the beginning, and then you hide in the closet and see this, like, horrific thing, and then I think he ends up dragging one of the mannequins out behind him. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, this very, experience. And then that you see him in the apartment. This is probably the scariest fucking thing that I've ever had happen in a game. And it's... You can miss it completely. But you're wandering around. They constantly, throughout the game, have you looking through the peepholes and the doors. Mm-hmm. And there's some stuff on the other side. Either you see kind of like hints as to where to go, or just creepy, weird, gory things. There's rarely ever anything in the peephole, like a person or anything. But there's this one moment in the game where you can look through all the peepholes. And I think where is it? Is it in the hospital? Or is it in the apartment?
Tell me more about the peephole that we're talking about.
You can completely miss it. Basically, you have to look in a peephole that you've already looked in a second time. Mm-hmm. And there he is. He's standing there. And it's... I don't even think he's doing anything, but it scared the shit out of me because I wasn't expecting it. And B, I then spent the next 20 minutes being like, oh my God, that door is like right here. Like, he's going to come out any second now. But he doesn't. He never does.
I may have even totally missed it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in the hospital, actually. And it's implied because he's standing over a bed.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's implied that, you know, because that's James, right? So I think that that's the moment. And maybe I might be messing that up, but I know it's definitely in one of the puzzles when you're trying to find stuff, and I'm just super forgetful. So I'm like, was it in this room? And then I looked through the peephole and there he was, and it scared the bejesus out of me. Mm. And he's not doing anything. He's just like there. And oh, man, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, let's talk about Pyramid Head.
He is one of the most frustratingly overused monsters from Silent Hill. When you think about Silent Hill, you think about Pyramid Head. But a lot of people argue that he should only be present when James is the character.
I agree. He belongs in Silent Hill 2. And when I literally stopped playing Silent Hill 5 when he showed up. Yeah. I was like, that's cool, except this just totally pulled me out because that's James. Like, you can't. Oh, man, I was so mad. I stopped playing and I didn't pick it up again. Mm-hmm. I was really mad.
Yeah. Was that Homecoming?
Yeah, that was Homecoming.
Yeah. So I did play Homecoming, too. And I was just like, why is Pyramid Head? And he's buff. Why? Pyramid Head is literally not buff in Silent Hill 2.
Nope.
He's very similar to James with a giant thing on his head.
I forgave it when they put Silent Hill 2 in the movie. Silent Hill. I forgave it because it was definitely, they did a bunch of different things in the movie that winked at all of the games. Like the fact that the main character, the guy in the beginning, he's supposed to be the main character from the first game, but he also looks like Henry, the character in Silent Hill 4. And, you know,
she looks like Heather from Silent Hill 3. And, you know, it's like Silent. Yeah. So I forgave it. Like, OK, they want to do an homage to Silent Hill, the series. Of course, you're going to have Pyramid Head in there. Mm-hmm. But when when I got to the Silent Hill 5, which is Homecoming, and I was playing through it, and I got over the fact that they gave you a health bar, which I've really felt like they shouldn't have done because it takes away from the horror. And okay, it's combat centric, but the moment he showed up, I shut the game off. I was so mad. Like, that's, you know, you're just, you're exploiting something that was done so well in Silent Hill 2, and you're ruining it, you know. Like, anyway, sorry, rant over.
Like, take that idea and make a monster.
New. Yeah, make something new and horrific. You know, you can't just rely on the old horror, because it doesn't make any sense. And that's what made the second one so good.
I know. Anyway. And there is also, you know, there's, I want to sometime talk about Pyramid Head and Valtiel together with this.
Who's Valtiel?
Valtiel is the guy who is turning all the pipes behind the scenes in Silent Hill 3.
Oh, see, I can't remember Silent Hill 3 hardly at all.
We're going to have to get you to play again.
Yeah, I'm going
to
play it again.
So, because Valtiel looks a lot like Pyramid Head without a pyramid on his head.
That's interesting.
So, it is very... So, but that is unrelated to this. So, Pyramid Head definitely represents James and James's oppressive side. He, in the beginning of the game, he drags around this giant knife, which is his, like, iconic weapon. Super phallic.
Yep.
Super violent.
Yep.
He's slow and lumbering. Like, you can hear the scraping of the knife as he's walking.
Yep.
And at the end of the apartments, you do have an encounter with him, but basically it's just, you have to survive. You can't kill him. Yep. And then the air raid siren goes off and he leaves. And
I find it interesting that you can't kill him because he's you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you even, when you have the cutscene where you see him with the mannequins, you even shoot him.
Yeah, yep, you do, and nothing happens to him. Mm-hmm. He just kind of, like, looks at you and is like, what?
He goes up to the closet that you're standing in, and he, like, grabs his pyramid, like, as if he's in pain or something, or as if it's, like, a burden to him, and then he walks off.
Which is just, like, super interesting imagery anyway. Because, you know, usually, typically, you being in the closet is you, like, hiding from something or not wanting to admit something. You know, usually it's you know, become a, whether or not if you're gay, you'll be considered in the closet if you're not out. But before that, before it became pretty much synonymous with that, it was anything that you were not wanting to admit. They considered it skeletons in the closet or something like that. So I thought that was very interesting symbolism that they used there.
James in the closet.
Yeah, right. And it's like, oh, it's so good.
He loses the knife after that. And then when you see him, he has a spear.
Oh, that imagery. That's the prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get to the prison, there's images of basically of justice, of like, we're going to come, and there's multiple pyramid heads in that painting with the spear.
Yes. Yeah. That's, oh, God, that's so the good. Puzzle with the tablet of the oppressor, the seductress, and the gluttonous pig.
Yeah.
And the place so where good. You put them, you have that little mural of the two pyramid heads with the spears.
Oh, fuck, man.
And it's on a platform used for hanging prisoners.
Yeah. So. Which is just so, oh, that is just so cool, because it's like, not only is it on a platform for hanging prisoners, but I'm pretty sure you end up falling through a platform. Yeah. So, like, you're hanging yourself, which is just so crazy, because that's exactly what he's doing. You know, he's like going through, and especially if you get the water ending where he does take his own life, that's this whole thing is basically him getting on the platform and ending it. Oh, God, what?
And then
so good.
So after the prison, there's a labyrinth, which is a space that is, it's the place where you can find the knife if you go to the right place.
Yeah.
And you're kind of walking through the twisty hallways of this labyrinth, and Pyramid Head is also in the labyrinth. And
yeah, multiple of him, right? There's two of him down there, I think.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I'm pretty
it
sure
feels
there's two
like
of them
there's 100
there.
Of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's at least two of them down there. And it should be noted, by the way, for hardcore players or just like anybody who's going to play this game, the labyrinth, there is no map. Mm-hmm. You have to actually remember your way out.
He draws the map. He draws
Does
the
he?
Map.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Like, as you're in there, he starts
drawing. Has that been every edition, or was that just in the HD edition? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay, because I remember freaking out. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a map, and I was just not aware of it. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I just remember freaking out and being chased by Pyramid Head and having to... Literally, I was shouting, like, left, and, you know, because I was playing with my friends, they'd be like, yes, you know, and we were, like, trying to get out of the labyrinth that way. It was horrifying. Yeah, it was really scary.
I get so lost in there.
Yeah, so do
I. It's terrible.
So it was awful. We ran for quite a while before we got out.
And there's multiple layers. There's like a hallway layer, and there's like a sewer layer where you're like in these tunnels that are filled with water, and you're splashing around, and so you go up and down these ladders.
Which is super interesting if you get the in-water ending.
They're so good at messing with your sense of space. And your spatial awareness, and like by just forcing you to keep going and getting back in that water, it's like its own form of like foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And then I think the next time you see Pyramid Head is the penultimate boss fight, which is right before you confront the Mary Maria boss.
Oh, there's also one. It's worth mentioning, there's one fight with Pyramid Head where you're like trapped in this room and the water keeps like raising or lowering or something like that, or the water raises so that you can't go down the stairs and you're basically trapped in this room, and it's a ruse. All you have to do is survive for a certain amount of time. But you can blow all of your ammo and everything trying to fight this guy, and you know, eventually the time ends and then, you know, the fight is over. I thought that was such an interesting choice and mechanic, because at that moment, because throughout the game in Silent Hill 2, something that I feel like they really did well is ammo is sort of rare, and they teach you to save your, like, especially like your rifle ammo and all that kind of stuff. They teach you to save that for the big fights, and then you're stuck using the plank or the pipe or anything like that in between, or at least you're trying to anyway. And in that moment, in that fight, you are panicked and you're saying, oh my God, it's Pyramid Head and he's chasing me and I'm in a tight room. I'm going to pull out my rifle. Oh my God, the rifle didn't kill. Oh my God, nothing is killing this man. I have used all of my ammo, all of my stuff. And then finally, you know, it ends and you think, oh my God, not only does it tell you immediately, like, Pyramid Head is not unkillable, but he's just like, he's super powerful. It makes you feel very helpless because you blow through all of your ammo.
Or you
don't. But I feel like the only way you know that is if you've played the game before or if somebody told you. Otherwise, you are absolutely most likely going to blow through all of your ammo and every weapon in your disposal to try to beat him. And then the scene ends and you have nothing, which is so fucking incredible, because in a horror game, when you have no ammo or nothing to defend yourself, that's like, you know, it's perfect. They did a great job of doing that without being obvious, like, oh, you're gonna lose all of your stuff, you fall into this water pit and everything's gone. Like, no, they force you to do it. You have no one to blame but yourself.
That reminds me of my most frightening moment in this game, which is not a Pyramid Head moment, but in the hotel. There's a moment when you have to go down into the basement, and the only way to go down is using this elevator.
Yes.
And it can only carry the weight of one person, which means you have to put in this cabinet all of your items, including your flashlight and your radio and all your weapons and all your health drinks and everything.
Yep.
And then you can go down into the basement. And after the whole game has taught you how to survive using those tools, it was the single most terrifying experience of any game I have ever played.
Yeah, that was a pretty horrific moment. I actually, now that we're talking about it, something I really appreciated about this game is literally everything that happens to you, you have to do it. Like, you are and you don't have to. You can turn the game off, but to progress forward, they force James to be the one to do these things. You have to give up your weapons. You know, there's no other way around that. You have to jump down into the grave. You have to jump down into the fucking pit in the prison. Are you kidding me? I stood there for like 5 to 10 minutes going, please God, no, I don't want to have to do this. It was so scary for me, but they force you to be the one to do it. I think maybe there might be one or two instances where something breaks and you fall, but it's never like all the big moments are you have to decide to go down there. It's up to you to do it. And I think that that's great for horror.
You just do it yourself.
Yep.
It's DIY. You have
nobody to blame but yourself for what happens to you, which is just like, you know, it's perfect.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So back to Pyramid Head.
Yes.
So you have this penultimate boss fight, which is you go into this room and there is Maria upside down in a bed frame, which is foreshadowing what the final boss looks like, which is a very like messed up, very like grungy version of Maria upside down with all this black all over her and like tentacles and stuff in a bed frame. So in this one, she's just hanging upside down in a bed frame. She's trapped. She's being held by two pyramid heads with spears, just like you saw in that illustration in the prison. And then she says, James, save me. And James says, stop torturing us. And then they impale her and then they come down.
Fuck, man.
You have to fight them. And the thing about this fight, it's kind of a similar experience to the first fight where you kind of have to run around and avoid getting hit by them because they're incredibly lethal with their spears. And there's two of them, so good luck.
Yeah.
And after a certain amount of time, once you've done enough damage to them, they go away from you. They go into the center of the room and they impale themselves on their own spears.
See, and that's, you know, not to bring it, like, okay, I'm just going to say it. So I think there's so much in this that points to the water ending as being like perfect. And I know that there's no, I'm just going to get this out there. There is no canon ending. No, they have come out and said each one is correct, a different interpretation. But I think there's so much in this game that leads me to the in-water ending. The impaling themselves, the fact that, you know, James says in disgust to Angela, like, oh, I would never kill myself. And then she's just kind of like, but we're, you know, we're the same. So, yeah, anyway. Continue. Yep. Sorry, I don't mean to derail that, but I just like, oh, there's so much symbolism. So, okay, go ahead.
It's also important symbolism because they're impaling their heads underneath the pyramids on these spears. And so, like, fatal damage to the head is how, I think James suffocated.
He does. Mary. He suffocates her with a pillow.
So I feel like that just, like, killing via the head is important in that way, too. And I, you know, I can't totally unwrap. Do you have any idea why there's two of them?
I don't actually. And I really wish that there wasn't. I wish there was only one. But I know that there's... Okay, let me see if I can look him up real quick. He's been called the Red Pyramid as well as the Boogeyman and the Shadowed One. Okay, we're going to ignore the fact that he's in any other Silent Hill game. He only belongs in Silent Hill 2, in my opinion.
I don't like this. Like, there's a line in this wiki that says, it is more likely that Pyramid Head is a type of monster rather than a single entity given two Pyramid Heads side by side. Yeah. I also disagree. I think that it's just like, if anything, I feel like it's a representation of the like duality of James's experience.
Yeah, because it looks like in Silent Hill 2, it's literally James with the fucking cone of shame on.
Yeah, they said that headpiece was meant to evoke the sensation of some sort of medieval, like, torture device.
Like a torture device. Yeah, exactly. Which you find when you look at all the torture paintings, like in the prison, all the ways in which they used to torture. There's like a whole section where you can look at all those paintings. And I agree. They wanted a monster with a hidden face. And so they had, well, of course, because they didn't want it to be obvious that it was James. But they added the geometric pyramid to make it look like a trap, which is just super fucking cool.
I think that Pyramid Head is, at that last scene, when he fights the two pyramid heads, I think James actually says, I don't need you anymore.
I don't need you anymore? Is that what he says?
I think he says that. Like, I understand what's going on and I don't need you anymore or something. I don't know if I'm making that up.
No, I think, I'll have to look it up, but I think you're probably right. Holy crap, that scene where he's abusing the two mannequins is crazy in the HD edition. Whoa, like I'm seeing a GIF GIF peanut butter of it. Oh my god.
Yeah. Did you say GIF GIF?
Yeah, I did. He also assaults another figure, and I totally forgot about that. In another, somebody who's lying down, which is just like crazy. Okay. An invincible pyramid head can be found patrolling two areas of the labyrinth. No, okay, so there's only one in the labyrinth. I was mistaken.
He's just everywhere.
Pyramid heads kill Maria in front of James.
Oh, yes, we totally
forgot
that. Oh, here
we go. That. Yep. Here we go. So Pyramid Head makes his final appearance in the Lakeview Hotel, along with a second Pyramid Head, who is there to symbolize James' guilt for Maria's death. Mm-hmm. So you've got the traditional Pyramid Head, who's guilty over Mary's death, and then you've got the second one, which is to symbolize guilt over Maria's death.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep. I forgot that Pyramid Head kills Maria in the end of the Brookhaven Hospital.
Yep. And you are absolutely right. He does say, I don't need you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they impale themselves.
Yeah.
Which is freaking nuts.
So it's very interesting to me that Pyramid Head kills Maria in the hospital. And then before this boss fight, they kill Maria again. So it's like James is being forced to watch himself kill Mary over and over again.
God.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Awful. Is there anything else about Pyramid Head that you feel is really important?
No, because everything else on here is talking about Pyramid Head in other games, which mm-hmm. I was
garbage.
Like, yeah, in my opinion, it looks like it's retconned. Mm-hmm. They're basically just wanted to use Pyramid Head because he became an iconic image. But mm-hmm. there was something really cool, which it says the Valtiel sect of the Order, which reveres the angel Valtiel as being closest to God, they wore red hoods and white robes and acted as, like, executioners. So
you're very close to this theory that I was talking about.
Oh, perfect. Let's talk about it because it's super interesting because that looks a lot like Pyramid Head, right? Like, he's got the mm-hmm. that hood is mm-hmm. in that triangle shape. But yeah, let's talk about your theory.
I think we should wait and we should talk about it after we talk about Silent Hill 3.
Okay.
Because Valtiel is Silent Hill 3 and there's a bunch of lore in Silent Hill 3 about the red god and the yellow god.
Okay.
And it all ties into that.
Okay.
So
okay.
Can we save it?
Yeah, we can save it.
Awesome.
So those of you listening who are like, ugh, why are they going to talk about it now? You can either go to the wiki or you can wait for when we talk about Silent Hill 3.
Yes. There's one other thing that I really want to talk about. And
yeah, of course.
I feel like we've talked about almost everything I love.
Yeah, that's great.
There's some dead bodies that you encounter throughout the game in different places.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those dead bodies, some of them you can explicitly see, but they've like hacked it so that they can see all of them, are actually using James's character model. So, which aligns with your feeling about the in-water ending.
That's interesting.
The one that really stands out to me is, and this was recent from my most recent watch through of the game, James discovers a dead body slumped in front of a static TV in the apartments.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I remember that. Sorry to get so excited, but this game is so good.
No, it's good. And then at the end, when he is watching the TV with the videotape of him and Mary and remembering what happened, at the end of that, he slumps in the chair in the exact same pose as the body in the apartments in the beginning, watching the static TV.
That's so cool.
It's literally foreshadowing.
That's so awesome.
This game is so good at foreshadowing.
Now, wait a second. Don't you hear a gunshot in that first scene, too?
I think you may.
And that's when you find the gun for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, which also alludes to the in the water ending.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's super cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Are there any other cool, like, dead body things?
I know that the one in the beginning, like, when you're before you go into the apartments, there's, like, you find, like, ammo or something on or a key or something on a dead body at the end of a walkway. That is also James's model. I think there's other times where it looks like his model, too, but nothing of note. Like, the one in the apartments is, like, the really key one. Unless I'm forgetting, you know? There's always something, and I'm like, wait, don't forget this other part.
I think the only other thing that I wanted to mention is mm-hmm. that I think that the creator of Pyramid Head, or, you know, Red Pyramid, or whatever that they wanted to call him,
mm-hmm.
said that they wanted to represent, like, Red Pyramid. Pyramid Head represents, like, a rapist.
Oh, wow.
And, like, his knife is, you know, like, everything that they did when they did that is, that's what they were thinking of when they were trying to come up with Pyramid Head, which is just, like, horrifying if you think back, like, James do that to someone? Mm-hmm. Like, we all say, yeah, he was sexually frustrated, but yeah, I think it's implied that if that's what they wanted to do when they created this character, what does that mean about James? You know, what does that say about James? So yeah, that's pretty horrifying.
It's heavy stuff.
Yeah, it's this game is very heavy.
Yeah, this game is, but that's like good horror, is like something that's really thematically heavy and like looks into the darkest parts of the human soul, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's such a good game.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have to talk about one of my favorite parts in the game, which is there was a hole here and it's gone now. Mm-hmm. So did you want to go ahead and say, because I think you find a message in the motorhome, right? That says, I'll be waiting for you at Neely's or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, and then you go to the bar, mm-hmm. and then at the bar, there is a strange like message written in blood, it looks like, on the window.
Yeah, there's a window that's been covered up with newspapers. And mm-hmm. so there's light coming through it. And then written in blood on that is this message.
There was a hole here. It's gone now. Now, the hole is all capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is lowercase. Mm-hmm. So I just think that's super interesting. And there's tons of different ways that you can interpret this. But some of the more common ones are that it's referencing James's mild alcoholism,
mm-hmm.
because the hole is, you know, either his pain and loneliness or also just drinking yourself into a hole. And I think he says, like, if you look at the if you look at liquor bottles in the game, I think there's a dialogue bit where he says, you know, I don't need this right now. Not that I don't drink. I drink quite a lot, actually, mm-hmm. To get away from how I feel. But it never changes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't need it right now. There's something more important that I have to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think there's another one. Like another reference, which is referencing Mary's vagina. Like, it's like, yeah, there was a hole here, it's gone now. Like, there's just like a whole bunch of different interpretations. But some of the more common ones are, you know, his alcoholism, Mary. Also, Mary, just like him missing Mary in general, not necessarily just missing her hole, but, you know, things like that. And then one of my favorite things is that it's a reference to Silent Hill 4. But I'm not going to say this because Stevie hasn't played Silent Hill 4 yet, but that's probably my favorite interpretation, is that it's connected to Silent Hill 4.
I know about the hole in the bathroom.
Damn it! How do you know all these things?
I watch a lot of videos from people who are into Silent Hill.
Yeah.
I also think it's interesting because in this game, there are a ton of holes that James has to confront.
Yes.
He has to stick his hands into holes.
Yeah.
He looks through holes. He jumps into holes.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because if you think about a hole, like, that is a open space that can be passed through or seen through. And so it in some ways is a thing that you can do, but when there's no hole, you're like trapped. So I think that is really interesting to think of. Like, it's almost like taking the idea of having a hole in your heart and like turning it on its head. Like, if you lose someone you love, then there's a hole in your being, but now it's like there is no hole anymore, which is such a interesting metaphor. And then when you come back to this bar, when you're in the other world, it says something else.
Yeah.
May I?
Yes.
It says, if you really want to see Mary, you should just die. But you might be heading to a different place than Mary, James. Which I've heard speculation that is Laura's voice. But it is unclear. It has strange capitalizations in it.
Yes, it does. It does make it look like it's... Oh, actually... Hold on, this is going to be really absurd, but I'm just going to see what letters are capitalized here.
Okay.
Oh dear. Is this actually saying something? Bye comes up?
Or are you descrambling them?
I'm trying to descramble it.
So the letters that are currently capitalized, I'll read them out so everyone can hear.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We have IRLAEEM. O-U-D-E-B-Y-I-E-N-A. A-E-M-A-R-Y.
And Mary is all.
J.
Yeah. And then J, yeah. Yeah, I don't see anything that stands out because I forgot that I missed the I when I was going through it. So it looked like it said by Mary in it. I panicked. But yeah, I don't know if there's anything in that, but it's super, super interesting.
There's purposeful typos and strange spelling when you're in the hospital.
Wait a minute. Oh my God.
What?
I need you, Mary. Be real. It's an anagram.
Really?
Yep.
Does it actually say that?
Yep.
What the heck?
What the hell?
Uncovered an Easter egg.
Oh my God, it's an anagram.
I'm sure no one has ever uncovered this Easter egg in the history of Silent Hill. Read it one more time.
I need you, Mary. Be real.
Be real. And I guess if you read this message, it does increase your chances of getting the in water ending.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Holy shit. This game is so awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Woo. Okay. Yeah. So I really appreciate there's a hole here. It's gone now because of its direct reference to Silent Hill 4, which is like one of my favorites. And I love the lore idea that Silent Hill 2 and Silent Hill 4 are either happening simultaneously or they're just like so connected. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I appreciate that so much. But we won't touch on that anymore because I want you to be able to play that. But yeah.
Have the experience. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And I think, I can't believe that just happened. Yeah, I think that's all I had for the extra. Like, there was a hole here. It's gone now.
We uncovered it live, guys.
Yeah, we did. Oh my God. I have chills. I have the sweats right now. Okay. But yeah, that's it. Okay. So I can hit, unless there was anything else that you wanted to add, because wasn't there something else before we talked about the hole that we were like, oh, but we didn't mention that? Or was it just this?
I think we were talking about him going into all the holes, or was there something else?
Oh, it was the toilets.
Oh, the toilets.
So this is just totally random, but I think it's in Silent Hill 3, right? Where he's just like, she looks at the screen and is like, why the hell would you put your fucking hand in a toilet? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Which is a direct reference to both Silent Hill 2 and Silent Hill 1, where you have to put your hand in a toilet and pull something out.
Disgusting toilet.
And again, it happens in Silent Hill 3, and she just kind of looks at that, the camera breaks the fourth wall, and is like, are you kidding me? I'm not doing that. And it's hilarious. But yeah, that's the only other thing that I wanted to mention about cool things about Silent Hill 2.
Heather's got a good head on her shoulders.
Yeah, she does.
Okay. Yep, I think that's everything.
So if you listen to this entire podcast episode, which is probably going to be, we've been talking for 2.5 hours, so... But that includes bathroom breaks. So, you know, if you've listened to this entire 2, maybe even 3-part series and you haven't played the game yet, now you're gonna, right? Now you're gonna go play the game and be like, oh, this is what they were talking about. Oh my God. Oh yeah, this. Go play the game.
Please.
Please.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Treat yourself and your psyche to this horror show.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you wanted to mention before... I tell everybody where to find you, or you tell everybody where to find you?
I just want to thank you for having me on
your podcast. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, okay, so here's what happened, guys. We met for coffee last week, I think, and I had mentioned, you know, I want to do some scarier games for October, basically, for the series. And I think the first thing you did, you put both hands down on the table and you said, please have me on for Silent Hill 2. And I just went, are you kidding me? I've been waiting to find the perfect guest for Silent Hill 2 that loves it as much as I do, because Captain doesn't like it. So I couldn't force him to play it, which I did. I asked him to play it and he was like, yeah, I tried. And I think he got like 2 hours in and it just didn't grab him, which I would love to sit down and figure out why. Oh, I did have something I wanted to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that playing this game on Twitch for an audience will detract away from the experience?
Do you mean for the person who is playing it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because for sure it's going to detract from the experience of somebody watching it, because it is not the same as when you have the controller in your hand. I you know, and sometimes it's or when you're in control. It's not everybody is using a controller with their hands, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. So for me, my experience was amazing with my audience because I was nerding out as I went through. I'm like, look at this. look at this.
So like, that was your first playthrough? No. Was streaming it? Oh, okay. No. Okay. Okay.
No, it was my second. If it was your first time playing it, especially, I think if you have people in your chat who are into Silent Hill, who are not going to spoil it for you, it could be amazing.
Yeah.
But I would be afraid of getting spoilers if you were streaming it. Like, yeah, that would be a really real possibility.
Yeah, I think so too. But also, I think the hardcore fans will come in and no one will actually spoil it for you. But
just have your mods really on top of it.
Yeah, but also I actually think it's one of the only games that I would say your first playthrough should be alone with the lights off. Like, I honestly believe that, because I think if I had been playing it for an audience, you immediately already feel less alone. Mm-hmm. And it's less scary as when you're there by yourself in the dark, mm-hmm, and you don't know what's going to happen, because it's a very surreal game and a very, mm-hmm, surreal experience. So
my first playthrough was not alone and it was not in the dark. Yeah. And for me, it was okay.
Yeah.
But if I could go back and have that experience, I would.
Yeah. And I mean, I played with my friends, but we played in the dark, you know, and it was just, I just worry that with the idea of you sitting there looking and then glancing over at a very well lit chat might make you feel safe. I don't know, but mm-hmm, I think that's very interesting. Cause when you mentioned it at the very beginning of the podcast, I was like, I wonder if that would detract from the experience, but yeah,
maybe anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's all I had on Silent Hill 2. I freaking love that game.
Me too.
Yeah. So we're going to have to go through Silent Hill 3. So I really want you to play The Room, because if you can believe it, Silent Hill 4 and Silent Hill 2 are like tied. Silent Hill 2 probably takes the cake, but Silent Hill 4 comes in a close second for my favorite Silent Hill game. So I really cannot wait. And if you play that on stream, I'm going to be there. You got to tell me.
Okay.
So speaking of which, would you like to tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah. So
all the things. Definitely all that. You don't just have to do. Yeah, please. Everything.
Yeah. So if you came in halfway through or something, I'm Stevie Ray Drawn. I am a digital illustrator and storyteller and occasional Twitch streamer, not as often as I used to be. You can follow me at Stevie Ray Drawn on Twitch. If you would like to keep up with my art and my stories and my own spooky world that I'm creating, you can follow me or pledge to me on Patreon, which is patreon.com/StevieRayDrawn. Stevie Ray Drawn is spelled... funnily, I'm going to spell it for you. It's StevieRayDrawn. I have an upcoming Kickstarter for some tarot-themed spoopy enamel pins.
Oh, and it's going to be so good, guys. It's going to be so good. Am I allowed to say that? I've seen them. I've seen them. They look great.
If you guys want to take a peek, I have a mock-up of them on my landing page. It's bit.ly/sigilsoftruesight. So check that out.
And for those of you listening, maybe while driving, don't worry. Everything will be listed in the description as per usual.
Awesome.
So you can find that in the description of the episode on your favorite podcast player, which, by the way, we're now on Spotify. We're now on Spotify. Did you guys know that? We're now on Spotify. Oh, my God. You can find us by searching for Pumpkinberry TV and the Deep Dive podcast will come up. Super exciting. But yeah, thank you so much for being on here, Stevie. It was like an enjoyable 2.5 hours, even though I had scary music going. It was great.
Me too.
Oh, one thing I did want to mention is Stevie's got a bomb ass Twitter, so you can find her at the same username on Twitter as well. And links to all of her stuff can be found there on Twitter.
I'm Stevie Ray Drawn on all social media, so you can find me anywhere using that
anywhere
username.
You want. Hunt her down, send her pictures of Pyramid Head. Okay, maybe don't do that, but yes, she's great. And also, I would like to mention, if you have anything to add about Silent Hill 2, your playthrough, any kind of cool factoids that we missed that you feel like would be great to share, don't hesitate to drop a line at hello@deepdivecast.com. I will share them with Stevie, and maybe we'll revisit them when we do another episode. But thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you again, Stevie, for being here. And of course, thank you, Divers, for being a part of it. The Deep Dive Podcast is brought to you by PBTV, that's me, and you can find us at deepdivecast.com, as well as on Twitter and Instagram at deepdivecast. If you like what you hear, please consider rating and reviewing the show on iTunes, and you can also become a patron of the show by visiting us at deepdivecast.com/support. Patrons receive various perks like monthly black and white wallpapers, high-quality versions of each episode, bonus episode content, and of course, the knowledge that you directly are keeping the Deep Dive afloat. Yes! Shell, yeah! Oh, no. Is this how this is going to end now? It's going to end every episode with ridiculous puns? I guess so. See you next time, divers. The Deep Dive podcast is proudly part of the Geek Generation Network. For more podcasts about your favorite geeky things like games or your favorite shows, browse our whole library at thegeekgeneration.com.